Mullen, good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
Thank you.
Delighted. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's a pleasure. I know I spoke to you a number of 2 years ago about Finders International. You're a genealogy expert, and there's a huge interest in this in terms of researching your family tree. A very good article in The Independent on this and can be got online. Simple advice, please, if people want to start out this morning, maybe they're looking for a project to do now over the winter months, let's say between now and Christmas.
Yes.
Where do you start?
Yes. I suppose a lot of people do start in September time. It's kind of the start of the academic year, you know, with schools and colleges going back. And yes, for sure, there are lots of Irish genealogy records online. My advice would be to look at the records that are free, for starters. So there's two websites in particular, the census of 1901 and 1911 is online if anybody on the National Archives of Ireland website. So if people just Google the census, National Archives of Ireland, and it'll come up for them. The other website that is free, that's of huge importance for Irish genealogy, is irishgenealogy.ie. And so births, marriages and deaths are, the records are actually on the online there.
I'll just interrupt you there for a second, Maeve. A lot of people will start by talking to their parents or to their uncles or their granny and granddads, and it might be somebody within the family that might be a little bit older. It could be a younger person interested in it. So just even to start it off and to write down, to get a big book and to start writing the links, in other words, drawing the tree if you want to. Would you encourage somebody to go maybe and get a big poster that you put up on the wall and say, okay, let's start with me here in the middle, and there's mammy and daddy, and there's auntie and uncle, or where? Is that a good idea as well?
It's a very, very good idea, Damien. It's very important to have your tree as your reference point to go back to, because it can when you're looking at a lot of records, it can be very easy to lose your spot as to, is this person a cousin or were they an uncle? Do you know, are we forward a generation or back a generation? So a very good idea to have a poster tree that where you can keep track of where you are with your research. And also, exactly as you said, very important to chat to any older members of the family and gather all of their family lore and their stories and write it down, or if they are okay with maybe you recording them talking about stories, because it's that certainly adds colour and flesh to the family tree.
Yes,
it doesn't.
Traditionally, family trees and these type of little compendium of informations might be written down, as you say, in a little book or a little booklet that you'd share with your family and friends. But now we're in obviously a digital age, and voices and recordings and even little video clips. I spoke to a great aunt of mine up in Kildare in 2008, and I still have the little video of that I kept myself, because she's died now. She was 94, and it just meant so much to talk to her. What happens as well if you find stuff in your family tree that maybe you're surprised about? Either somebody was a murderer in a bygone day, or somebody doesn't connect with somebody else, or the links are not as straightforward as may have been perceived?
Yes, well, funny, there's lots of people who are afraid of finding murderers, but like there's very few murderers, do you know?
Thank God.
That's extremely unusual. And the vast majority of people's families are ordinary people working away as farmers, or, you know, a bootmaker, or all those kinds of a groom for horses, or all those kinds of dressmakers were and laundry women. They were very common occupations. And it's just, it is lovely to gather up all the information. And yes, there can be surprises where somebody, perhaps a man, went and had a second family that the first family didn't know about. Or, you know, we have come across some stories like that. But there's less...
What do you do in that situation? What would you advise people to do? Would you advise people to talk about these things? I suppose talking is obviously the... It's good to talk about these things, isn't it?
It is good to talk about these things. And personally, it's up to everybody as to how they, you know, it's their family history, and it's up to everybody to make a decision about that. But most families are absolutely delighted to connect with each other, and when we're researching a family for probate purposes or for property reasons or whatever, we're often asked by one part of the family, can you give me contact details for my cousins in Australia or whatever? And we can't give one part of the family contact details for another part of the family. But what we can do is the person who asks us for the contact details, we then have their permission to give their contact details to the other part of the family. And then it's their decision whether they get back in touch or not. But most people do. Most people are absolutely delighted to have the gaps in their family history, have an answer on question marks that there might have been, and that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, listen, we'll put the details up again online. Maeve, it's lovely to talk to you again. Mind yourself and God bless. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Damien.
Thanks, Maeve. All the very best. Maeve Mullen there, genealogy expert.